Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are Dukes and Bell, Atlanta's number one afternoon drive program. Thanks to you guys. We start every hour of every show with a big hearty, hey, man. We're hanging out at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We got a great crowd, man. Good crew. My boys over here. It's funny. We had three guys at the table, Abe, and there's one guy over here. Three guys are all in for the Falcons, and one guy's like, I'm not feeling it. So we get the one guy who's playing hard arse over here about this offseason, and we'll get into that conversation because Abe's got a hell of a theory about where this may go and how the schedule actually may play to the Falcons' advantage. By the way, we got a shout-out to Rodney. We got a great crew over here. His beautiful nephew, Zakai? Zakai, thank you. And his brother is listening in the car driving up here right now. It's going to be a minute. Yeah, right? So it's going to be a while, but he's like, was Mike talking about you? Because I said his grandson. It's actually his nephew, but he's listening right now in the car. Great crowd here at Twin Peaks. Join the party. We're here till 6. Is Chris on tonight? What's going on after us? Yeah. What's that now? Yeah.
Full 4 for Chris tonight.
Full gets, hey, it's Turtle. Big show tonight. All right, Abe, the Falcons, man. Explain what you explained to me at 3 o'clock. And a couple of guys at the bar, Dennis at the bar, Jimmy, I was talking to them earlier. They're like, you know what? Abe's making some sense on this.
It's not the first time, Mike. Get used to it.
Well, you know what?
I'm just kidding.
I give credit where credit's due because and it's funny because a couple of guys real quick said to me, you said there would be no competition.
Right.
Well, if one guy spits the bit, as they say in horse racing, if somebody doesn't make it work, then someone else is going to get the job. The argument has always been, and I'm speaking for Carl on this. Carl's off today. Abe's in. Michael Penix Jr. is likely not going to be ready for camp. Now, if he is, color us surprised. Nobody in the organization has ever laid down a timetable. Nobody, when asked by the media, has ever said that they said, yes, Penix will be ready to compete at camp. So that's why we go, as Carl says, with what we know. So, Abe, let's just say that Michael Penix Jr. is maybe not ready to compete the entire camp. Talk about the way the schedule plays out and how you think it does line up to maybe make the segue potentially from Tua to Penix.
Yeah, I just think when you look at the Falcons' schedule, Mike, especially early on, if you cannot hold a quarterback competition, and again, I will caveat that for you, you are giving Tua the job because Penix is not able to properly compete due to health. Then when you look at it, there is a natural opportunity to get Penix into the starting role if he is then healthy into week 4. And that is because in week 3, Thursday night football on the road against the Packers, your next game isn't for 11 more days, Monday night football. So not only do you have the mini bye, you have the extra day from Sunday afternoon into Monday night. And so if you're going to make a quarterback change, you have the extra time to do it there early in the season. If Penix is not ready to go at the start and he's ready to go by week 4, you can make a natural change if Tua is not getting the job done. You will have bought yourself 3 weeks
right,
to get Penix up to speed physically where he needs to be if he's not ready to compete in camp. I think it's a perfect opportunity. Look, Mike, you saw the bye week come out and you're sitting there thinking like, man, too late. It's too late for a quarterback change to wait until week 11 for the bye week. And then you look and say, here's a mini bye that's 11 days long. If you're going to make the change, you have an opportunity to do it there. Again, this is caveated with Penix is not able to compete. Tua is handed the starting role.
Right.
And also the caveat that he's not performing well. The team is not winning in those first three. If you're 3-0, I'm not making a change.
No, that's the thing. If Tua is balling, see, I'll give you the counter to the argument. And this is something that we've talked about. We have a lot of Michael Penix fans out there, and guys are asking us all the time, you know, what do you have against Michael Penix Jr.? Nothing. It's about the physical reality of him not being able to win the competition preseason. Here's the other side. Abe just touched on it. If Tua is winning and the Falcons find themselves like we were, I hate to use this as a reference point, but 2024, we're 6-3. We're 2 games in hand of the Bucs or Carolina. There's no reason Stefanski would bench Tua. The question, and the guys at the table asked me, do you believe in these quarterbacks? I said, I don't believe in either one of them. And that's where we're at. Now, color me surprised if one of these guys steps up. And we're all pulling for that. But the reality is our quarterback is probably playing college ball this year. But to Abe's point, if Stefanski really is as good as Matt Ryan thinks he is, that's why he hired him, and we take care of the things we didn't take care of the last four seasons. I'm taking it from Ra to back to, if we're honest, Arthur Smith.
Yeah, sure.
Basic blocking and tackling, pardon that pun, we'll be okay. We've got skilled position players. We've got guys. We may get more out of Kyle Pitts than we ever had since his rookie season. Even last year, when statistically, he had a really good year. So this could play out. If Tua really catches fire, he may never relinquish the job, and then you don't really know what Michael Penix Jr. is, and he may have to develop somewhere else down the road.
But you know what? If
for another team.
If Tua's doing a good enough job that he's proven he's your guy, then I don't really care what Michael Penix is. What you need to find out is what Michael Penix is if Tua isn't doing that.
Right.
Right.
And you just laid out the scenario. It's a perfect. It's a perfectly laid out scenario.
Mike, as much as I would love Penix to be the guy, and if he is the guy, that's great. I'm not anti-Penix. I'm not anti-Tua. I'm for whoever can be the future of this team. I'm not sure that, to your point, that either of them are. And I don't think there's any more likely that it's Tua or that it's Penix. I don't care who it is.
Right.
But I want to know at the end of this year if one of these guys is or is not. And if Tua gets the first chance and he plays well, I get that you have 1 year less control of Tua than you would of Penny. You have to get a deal and all that crap.
We'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Fine. But if he's playing well and he looks like your future, then the last year of Penix has to be sacrificed for the belief that Tua is the guy. And if he's not that, you find out when you can what Penix has. And if he's not that, to your point, you hit the draft.
Right. Hey, man, live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, Abe in for Carl today. The Falcons schedule came out, and again, for what it's worth, now, I know most fans, like if you're like me, in the old days, you're like, okay, the schedule's out. I'd look at the schedule. There's a road trip. I might want to book some airfare, get a hotel, start looking at tickets on Ticketmaster or StubHub. But it's become a thing, and we were trying to figure it out. Abe and I were saying maybe 10 years ago, this became this major deal where all of a sudden all the teams in the NFL, their marketing digital department tries to outdo each other. And the Falcons went with an old school approach that we love. And for younger, I think the younger audience does grasp it, but it's the old This Is SportsCenter. And it's brilliant. And I love it. We played, you know, we played some of the sound bites. Some of the stuff is visually oriented, so it doesn't play on the radio, not a visual medium. But I loved what the Falcons did. And it's generally universally accepted as I thought top 10 was being a little poor. I think it's top 5. We talked about some of the other teams that got a little clever. Only the Chargers took the bait on using Mike Vrabel and the Diana Rossini situation as something to maybe troll the Patriots with. But even then, Abe, it was very subtle.
Yeah, it wasn't as direct as I thought some teams maybe would have been, but that's all right. Look, I thought the Falcons did a great job, and here's something we didn't written, or at least I didn't neglected to talk about earlier. We talked a little bit about Matt Ryan and his role throughout this skits and kind of how open he was. And I don't think anyone's surprised that Bijan was a central feature in a bunch of these. Bijan's done some acting. We've already known that as kind of
Was it Outer Banks? Is that what that thing's called?
I think there was that. I think there was maybe a Game of Thrones thing that he might have done. Drake London was, I thought, outstanding in some of these skits. And I think for those of us in the media who maybe have been around him and have seen him interact outside of just doing interviews, you're not that surprised that he can be fun and gregarious and open and all that stuff. I thought Drake London was really doing well as a performer in those skits, too.
There's one where he goes receptions, and he snakes the receptionist to answer a phone call.
I thought that was great. I thought the face-to-face with an employee named Kendrick is good. It was really funny. He was very good. Like, Drake London was very good.
Jesse Bates intercepting inter-office memos.
Yeah, and by the way, Drake, the rapper, actually shouts out or references, I should say.
I saw that.
Drake London in his new one of his new three albums on one of the songs. He literally dropped three albums last night.
Are you serial?
Yeah.
He did. Yeah,
wow. Yeah, I saw him. Drake, the Falcons retweeted it. He's going to the Falcons Twitter, or we don't say, you know, X. Well, I don't say much of anything. They stole my account. But he wide open in Atlanta. I'm wide open on the charts.
Yeah, Drake. That makes our very own Dylan, Dylan happy, because he is the self-proclaimed Drake fan of the station.
But, you know, it's fun. Guys are asking me, like, Stefanski's sense of humor. He's a brilliant guy, good sense of humor. He plays a big part in this. Matt Ryan, get blanking set to a couple of guys who weren't ready for the meeting about the schedule release.
I like that when Ian Cunningham walks past him and Matt's having
he's trying to get trouble. Ice.
Yeah.
The ice machine's not working. He goes, Matty ice, huh? See, it's cute. And remember, now we're guys of a certain age. It's hard to reference the old SportsCenter promos because half the guys are gone. Remember when who was it? The voice of the Dodgers, Abe.
Vin Scully?
No, not then. Now.
Oh, Charlie.
Charlie who?
I'm blanking.
See?
I'm blanking.
You
Steiner.
Got it. Steiner. Charlie Steiner.
Oh, I get there. You got to give me a moment.
And this is the one where they were doing the Y2K thing.
Follow me.
They're practicing.
Follow me to freedom.
They're practicing the Y2K, and he's got his tire on his head like Lord of the Flies. Follow me. Follow me to freedom. There's another one where Vander comes in. He goes. Charlie Steiner said you're not the third best, like, you know, heavyweight of all time. And, like, remember Vander's walking around like, come on out, Charlie, get your beating. And he's hiding under his desk. Charlie Steiner was a bunch of those, man.
Yeah.
Because he was like a lovable everyman schlub as far as the SportsCenter anchor. But anyway, thought the Falcons, and again, hats off to the Falcons digital team, their marketing team, for doing another great job. Now, does that matter to most fans? I don't know. It's nice to know your team's got a sense of humor. Can we win on the field?
Yeah, again, the schedule release only goes so far before the actual schedule takes over. It's a tough one, Mike, but I think every team has a tough schedule. I looked at most of the schedule, like, yeah, that one's not easy either. There's two or three teams that kind of got a break.
But again, Ravens, all right, let's just say that they don't respect the Saints around the league because they were a bad team, breaking a new quarterback. Ravens, Bears, Niners, Bucks, Bengals, Chiefs. Presuming that the Chiefs will have their ish together.
Right.
And the Bengals will have Joe Burrow healthy. That's a tough part of the schedule. But again, based on last year's, to Abe's point, last year's win-loss record, it doesn't technically show up as one of the tougher schedules.
Now, you do get three of those games at home in the Ravens, Bears, 49ers, so maybe that helps
out. Don't sell your tickets, guys. Don't sell your tickets.
Look, I mentioned this earlier. I'll say it again. Your bye is week 11. I feel very strongly that you could probably get to the bye at 4.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Six, and still have a chance.
Right.
Because of what the back end of the schedule looks like, because of finishing with three division games. If you can get to the bye week 4-6, don't throw the towel in on the season yet. There's still a chance.
Right. I'm with you, brother. Live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead, Dukes of Bell with Abe Gordon filling in for Carl. Come back. We'll talk to Grant McCauley about the Braves. They lost the battle but won the war, another series. Hard to imagine losing two games with Chris Sale against the Dodgers and Cubs and still pulling out the series. Also, what Walt Weiss had to say about Ronald Acuna's return next on Dukes of Bell.
Hey y'all, Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.